So we'll discuss, what did you make Havdalah over last night? It's a major question in the poskim. What is the preferable drink? So let's go back a step. In general, we'll see. Generally, we make Kiddush and Havdalah every week. Kiddush to begin Shabbos and Havdalah to end Shabbos. So during the 9 days, we have a custom, at least Minig Ashkenaz, and even Svardim, who begin the week of Tisha B'Av, Shvuah Shechol Bo, they don't have meat and wine during this time period. So on Shabbos, which is a Yontif, or Sudas Mitzvah, so then we have exceptions. So Kiddush is on Shabbos, so it's not an issue. But the question is, Havdalah, well, in theory, it's interesting, Havdalah by definition is not after Shabbos. Maybe that's one of the eitzes, but it's a separate shiur, but the Gemara tells us one can make Havdalah on Shabbos. Of course, you can't do Malacha until Shabbos is over, but strictly speaking, one can make Havdalah even during Shabbos. Of course, you can't do Bore. By Havdalah, I mean Bore, Priya, Guffin, and Hamavdil. You can't light a flame and make Bore, Morei, Eish. What, yeah? Go on.
So, look, assuming the idea that you can make it on Shabbos, I presume it must at least be after sunset. Or not?
No, not necessarily. Probably after, but maybe after Plag HaMincha. But, because after sunset already, it's not a Chiddush. I mean, what I mean is it's less of a Chiddush because it's Safik Yom, Safik Laila. Okay, so if you assume Havdalah is Drabanan, so that is a Chiddush, but not such a Chiddush. To say a Kiddush, you can make it during the day. That's a much bigger Kiddush. Exactly. The details of how one would make it, hopefully it's usually not halacha l'maisa, because most people don't. But actually, there are occasions, not for today, about when maybe one would make Havdalah during the day to avoid. There's a Me'iri about making Havdalah after Plag HaMincha under certain scenarios, which I'll just tell you quickly, but it's a whole shiur on it. If someone lost their father on Shabbos, or the mother, or the loved one, and after Shabbos they're becoming an onain, someone who's prohibited to do mitzvahs. So what if you wait until Saturday night, you can't make Havdalah anymore. So perhaps maybe, what about making it on Shabbos after Plag HaMincha before you become an onain? I'm just throwing, L'maisa, we don't do that, but that's one of the suggestions that some Rishon and bring down to do. But either way, that's a separate topic. So getting back to here is a big issue because Havdalah, not by definition, but practically speaking, 99.99 times we're going to make Havdalah after Shabbos is over. So in this case, if it's after Shabbos, that means it's Shvuah Shechol Bo. It's the week for Ashkenaz, it doesn't make a difference. We already started Rosh Chodesh Av. But for the Svardim who begin Shvuah Shechol Bo, so then the issue is, can I make Havdalah over wine? Because the Minig Yisroel is that Mishanichnas Av Amatim B'Simcha, the Minig Yisroel is not to have meat and wine during Shvuah Shechol Bo. So what do you do when Havdalah, at first glance, usually the practice is to make Havdalah over wine. And the clash is that during the 9 days, you're not supposed to have wine. So how do we reconcile this apparent problem? Because Havdalah has to be made. I haven't seen anyone say, therefore, you don't make Havdalah. Interesting, we do find that by, both, if not this year, but last year, when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, and we push it off until, Sunday. So, according to the Ramban, since you can't make, well, Havdalah you make, like in Davening, but Havdalah Alayayin, the Ramban Shita is that since you can't make Havdalah over wine, or you can't make it over anything, because it's Tisha B'Av, so once you push off Havdalah Alakos, you don't need to make it anymore. So there are Shitas by Saturday night when Tisha B'Av is pushed off to Sunday about, you don't make Havdalah, once you miss it, that's it. But no one goes that far about, it's much stricter not drinking wine on Tisha B'Av than it is during Shavuot Shachobo for many reasons. So the Efanomen suggests that therefore you don't make Havdalah this week. That's not an option. So the question is, what are the options? So the Mechaber writes, what happened to Zechariah? I don't see him. Is he here? Or I just don't
see him.
Okay, I see two of Jeff's. I don't see any Zechariah.
I'm here.
Oh, you're okay, yeah. So, I see. So either I still don't see you, but I believe you're here. What is the Mechaber of Yosef Cairo? What is his suggestion? I'll give you the three suggestions, and I'll give you the pros and cons of each. So the Rav Yosef...
Oh, no, he froze.
Rav Yosef Cairo says, you know what you should do? You should make Havdalah over wine, like any other week, and you shall drink the wine yourself. And which I would say is the pshuto. I would have thought that also. I don't get the whole discussion. In other words, the assumption the Vilna Gaon elaborates and explains, why should... Last I checked, Havdalah is a mitzvah. You're drinking wine for mitzvah purposes, not for enjoyment purposes. And not that you can't enjoy the wine when you drink it for Havdalah, but the purpose of the drinking isn't for pleasure. The purpose is for the mitzvah of Havdalah. And therefore, why is it any different than a Sudas mitzvah? A Sudas mitzvah, someone makes a siyum, you finish a certain amount of learning, and then you go ahead and you make a siyum. So everyone agrees you could have bus of a yayin. So why should Havdalah be discriminated against? It should be no worse than a Sudas mitzvah. And just like on a Sudas mitzvah, the custom is to have meat and wine, so too on Havdalah. So according to the Mechaber, like not much to talk about. And that seems to be the... In other words, if not for this discussion, I would have said, what's the problem? Of course you make Havdalah over wine. Why would I think the 9 days would interfere with perhaps a mitzvah daraisa of Havdalah? Albeit, drinking the wine isn't biblical, but Havdalah itself is a biblical mitzvah, and drinking wine is clearly rabbinical. It's only a custom of not having wine during the 9 days. So that's so... I think the Rav Yosef Cairo is learning, is the pshuto, no problem. Why get worked up? It's not really a strong question, and let's move on. That's the review. He's much more glad, and that's it. The Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, in the Ramah, he basically agrees with the Mechaber Bidiyevit post facto, that he basically fundamentally, Ikar Adin agrees, it's nothing, if a person made it over wine and drank it, you're Yotzei Havdalah. But he suggests perhaps maybe there's something even better. What's better? He says that, again, you make Havdalah over wine. We'll get into grape juice shortly. Right now we're assuming wine and grape juice are the same. That both are din, because grape juice generally, we use it for Kiddush, we use it for the 4 cups of wine, we use it for Havdalah. So right now I'm assuming they're on the same playing field. About making any distinctions yet. At the end of this year, I might, but at this point, we're not. So he says, so what you do is, if you have a katan hanging around, a minor, then you should give the wine to a katan, someone under bar mitzvah. So he says, we get the best of both worlds. I'm making Havdalah over wine, which is the preferable drink, and I don't have to, if I could avoid the issue of me drinking, and I can fulfill my same mitzvah by giving it to a katan, then what's the harm? In other words, what his point is, he's answering up the Vilna, why he's being choleik on the Mechaber. What was the Mechaber's, the Mechaber didn't spell it out, but the Mechaber, what the opinion is based on is, the assumption is that there's no difference between Havdalah and a Sudas mitzvah. So the Rama is saying there is a difference. He's saying it by writing it. I'm just hashing out what's behind what he's saying, at least what I think is what behind he is saying, is that it's when a Suda is mitzvah, there's no choice. Like if I'm enjoying my Suda, how about you eat my ribs for me, you have my wine. That's going to take away my simcha. Like that doesn't work. There's no option. By Havdalah, I don't have to drink. The Havdalah I'm drinking because it's Havdalah. In fact, I'm not supposed to be drinking it for the sake of my own drinking. I'm drinking, then it would be Usher. I'm drinking it because it's Havdalah. So since there's an Eitzah by Havdalah, I'm allowed to give it to a child. So basically the Rama agrees with the Machaber. He thinks it's a little bit of a hiddur. If you don't have to drink it, I agree it's like a Sudas Mitzvah, but functionally it's not. Functionally, a Sudas Mitzvah, you got to eat it. If you want to enjoy the Siyam, you have to participate. But by Havdalah, you don't have to fulfill your Mitzvah Havdalah, I don't have to drink. So perhaps it's a functional distinction that the Rama is making. And in fact, what type of katan are we talking about? What do you mean? You give it to a six-month-old baby? You give it to someone about to become bar mitzvah next month? What type of katan are we talking about? So the Magen Avraham and other poskim limit this katan specifically to, somewhere between 6 and 10, 6 and 9. What kind of random age is that? 6 to 9, 6 to 10. So the important thing is the principle. We'll see. Once we know the principle, then we can apply it to maybe a 5-year-old or a 11-year-old. There's no number. It's not a magic. The number is a simen, not a siba. In other words, like, what's the rule? The rule of thumb is the type of katan you have to find. One who knows enough about hilchas brachas. He understands, I'm making Havdalah. I'm being motzi, everyone. He's drinking Havdalah for the sake of the mitzvah. In other words, if it's a 2-year-old who doesn't, and I give it to a katan, it's a bracha levatola. Like, I can't give it to someone who has no clue what's going on. Has to be enough where he has enough seicho. The mitzvah of chinuch applies to him regarding hilchas brachas. However, he can't be old enough to know what the churban habayis means, feeling the mourning, feeling aveilus for the temple, because if he does, then what's the gain of giving it to a katan for? Like, in other words, I could drink it, because the whole reason I'm not drinking is because, since I shouldn't have wine, because it's this time period. So if I could find a katan that understands Hilchos Havdalah, but it's not on the level to feel the mourning of the temple, so the Rama says, if you could squeeze in that type of child, he thinks that's the, in theory, that's the ideal of the ideal. Where you cover all angles, he thinks, in theory, that is the best option. So, of course, in practice, it's very difficult to find a katan who many know both or know none. It's hard to actually find a katan who knows one or not. Based on that, many Ashkenazic poskim, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and many others say, because of this difficulty, it's just better forget the katan angle and just drink it yourself. Just go ahead, because we possibly like the Machaber anyway. Really, you could drink the wine. It's difficult to find a katan who actually could do this. And then if you get one too young, it's a bracha levatola. If you get one who knows it, you're not gaining anything. So the risk reward is not there. Everyone agrees that if you drink it yourself, you yotze. Better to give up in the theoretical ideal than to run into a problem where you might even have a bracha levatola. So therefore, the many poskim say, even Ashkenazic poskim, there are those poskim who say you follow the Rama if you could find the child. But within that camp, there's a minority view at least who says better skip this option. And also they say it's not very practical because it happens every summer. Tisha B'Av happens over the summer, and Shabbos doesn't end till close to 9:30, 10 o'clock. And if you're actually doing chinuch on your kids, they should be sleeping by then. So therefore, usually the child's not up, and you're definitely not obligated to wake up your child to find a katan. And in fact, some poskim go so far as to say, so Rav Moshe and others say, forget the katan who's 6 to 10 and just do it yourself. And others say, no, even if you can't find a 6 to 10, better to give it to a 12-year-old than drink it yourself. So, yesh v'yesh, you have different poskim depending on how, if they view the katan drinking it any better than the gadol drinking it. But the bottom line psak is, the standard psak of the Machaber is you drink it yourself. The Rama says, if you can, it's best to give it to a katan, but if not, you could drink it. In fact, the Rama's not as simple because the Rama in another sefer, the Darkei Moshe, and he quotes from the Minhag the Ma'ariel, he seems to say, that I think he quotes the Ma'ariel, he said, I never saw any of my rabbeim do this. I never saw any of my rabbis give it to a katan, implying like, we don't follow this. Like, so he seems to be an apparent contradiction in the Ramah. Like, is it better to give it to a katan? Is it better that you should drink? So in fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's that he wants to reconcile. Rav Moshe says, today even the Ramah would agree you should drink it yourself. What do you mean? So the basic yisod is like this. He says, because what was the Ramah talking about? In a case back in the day, we live in affluent North America. And therefore, the standard practice is wine is readily available. We could get it all the time. And it's not like a big, I mean, it's nice. It's not an extra, extra special treat. Oh, wow, I got wine at Kiddush. We expect it. You know, that's the norm. It's the norm. Oh, I can't believe I don't have any wine. I have to get grape juice, but unless I want the grape juice. But it's usually not an issue to make wine over Kiddush or Havdalah. So he says, the Ramah was talking about during the 9 days, but he was talking about a time period where it was very rare that it was common practice the Jews made Havdalah over Chamar Medina, the drink of the town, because they didn't have any wine. It was way too expensive. It wasn't available. So the Ramah saying, in a case where you usually make Havdalah not over wine because you don't have it, best to give, if you do come up with wine during the 9 days, give it to a child because it's an extra tainug. It's something that it's a special treat. You should avoid the extra treat because it's not something you normally have normally. But Bizman HaZeh, that wine is common, to Rav Moshe says even the Ramah would agree, dump the kid and you could drink it yourself. So I'm just saying, so fundamentally, the Mechaben, and also I don't know about the concept of giving alcohol to your child, that's a meta halacha issue. But besides that, so they have a, fundamentally, the Mechaber and Ramah agree, it's just an issue on a lichat chila hiddur. So according to many today, that really doesn't apply. Practically, it's hard to find one that's sleeping. So therefore, he fundamentally goes with the Mechaber that if you don't have a child around, no problem, no compulsion, no compunction, just go ahead and drink it yourself. Jeff.
Sorry, a basic question. Look, would Apriya Gaffin is, in this case, a Birkas Mitzah or Birkas Nehenin?
Well, that's so that's a Shaila. Pasha, simple pshat, it's a Birkas Hanenin. But there are shtickle Torahs that when Bo Apriya Gaffin is in the context of Kiddush or Havdalah, it might also take on a status of a Birkas HaMitzvah. That's the whole issue, let's say, at a Kiddushin. So the simple pshat is, you know, it's a bracha for the Chasan and Kala, and therefore, you know, the Chasan and Kala have... So the simple pshat is the Chasan and Kala drink from the wine, and that's it. However, the briskers have a chumrah that the Masada Kiddushin, should also, that's a Rav Salavashik Shita, he should also drink when no one's looking either. I don't know if licking your fingers today goes well on the video, but somehow you should somehow get some wine because perhaps, you know, it's a Birkas Hanenin and you have to make sure that you get that you drink also. So obviously, generally speaking, Bo Apriya Gaffin is a Birkas Hanenin within the context of Kiddush, you know, because there's a Rashi in Brachas that says, when the Gemara says Hamavarak Sarak Sheyitom, that the one who makes the bracha has to drink, Rashi says Ginaihu a bracha. Like, what do you mean Ginaihu a bracha? They say it's a bracha of Atol if you don't drink. So from here, the Rav and others point out, we see from here that maybe it takes on the status of a Birkas HaMitzvah, and maybe it transcends a Birkas HaNenim. But that's a separate shiur for a separate discussion. So therefore, fundamentally, that the Mechaber Ramah agree Meikar Adin. It's a question on like whether giving it to a katan today is a hiddur or not. So is there a third shita? Yeah, Jeff.
Sorry, it's a good thing. Suppose it's bracha nehenin or if a child, because am I being the child's shaliach, so to say? I'm saying a bracha on his behalf, and he's doing the mitzvah of drinking.
What do you mean? It's just the opposite. Your mitzvah. What do you mean? If he's drinking for you, he's drinking it for you. He's drinking it for you. You're not drinking it for him. It's your mitzvah of Havdalah, and he has in mind to be motzi you when he drinks.
Can you be a shaliach?
You have to bar mitzvah.
If he's not yet bar mitzvah, can he be a shaliach?
No. So it's not a real din of a shliach. It gets into. You know, ain't shlichus katan here. It could be working shomei kona. The different ways it could be working. So it's not it's not necessarily a classical din of shlichus or not. But that is the point. But you're raising fair points. Is that's why people don't like the katan angle, for various reasons. You know, because in terms of whether it's a shliach point, but whether maybe he's not doesn't have enough das to know what he's doing. You know, different things like that. So. That's the point here. So, moving on. So, the door number one is you'd make it over wine and you drink it. Door number two is if you can find the katan between 6 to 9, give it to him. But if not, drink it yourself. So, they're fundamentally the same. Just they argue on a little hither. And the third, what's the third shita? So basically, the first two shitas basically agree. You make it. Havdalah is made over wine, and that's it. Comes along the Aruch HaShochan and goes in a whole different direction. The Aruch HaShochan says, you know what you should make Havdalah over last night? Beer. B-E-E-R. Not the other beer. You should make it over the drink. I know you guys don't drink, but you should make it over beer. Why beer? So let's just go back a step. The Gemara in Psachim on Kuv Zayin on Aleph tells us, Amemar, when he found out that beer was Chamar Medina, he made Havdalah over beer. So let me just get this out in front. Everybody agrees, you know, everyone in quotation marks, everybody agrees that you can make Havdalah over Chamar Medina. That seems to be the Gemara in Psachim. That you can make Havdalah over what we'll call the drink of the town, what it literally means, and we'll get to what it is. However, there's a major debate on what is considered. The problem people have with making Havdalah over Chama Medina isn't the principle, it's the application of what exactly is Chama. How do we define Chama Medina and what exactly is that? That's the debate. It's not a debate whether Chama Medina, regarding Kiddush, the Gemara is unclear whether Chama Medina works for Kiddush. A major machlokas Rishonim, the Rambam says, no, it doesn't work for Kiddush at all. The Rush says it does. So we Paskin Lomaisa, since Kiddush is biblical Friday night, we don't use Chama Medina, even the Rush says. And for Kiddush Shabbos morning, we rely on, but that's already a debate. But, you know, Lomaisa, we Paskin, you can use Chama Medina Shabbos morning, but that's a point. Havdalah, there's no debate. Everyone agrees you could use.
We often do.
Correct.
In the Kiddush at the shul.
Correct. Kiddush over schnapps and all that, yeah.
Schnapps.
Correct, yeah. So that's the minhag. You know, many people. And you have Meikar Adin, you could. Again, assuming schnapps is Chama Medina, but that is. But I'm saying Kiddush. Is a Shiloh, we Paskin, you can use Shabbos morning Kiddush, but I'm just saying it starts off as a debate, and we Paskin that way, but it's a major, about Havdalah, there's no debate. Havdalah, you can, the question is, what's Chama Medina, not if Chama Medina works. I'm saying, so Kiddush Shabbos morning is a step below, because you're already getting involved in a Machlokas, but I'm not, it's okay, because we Paskin, it's okay. I'm not saying you can't do it, I'm saying when we, in academically, it already starts as a debate, and then that's our conclusion, versus the Gemara saying straight out, and everyone seems to agree to it. So getting back, so the question is, what is Chamar Medina? In other words, I mean, not what is Chamar Medina, but, so the Aruch HaShochan says you should, so the Aruch HaShochan clearly assumes beer is Chamar Medina. In other words, how do I know? Because he's saying to make Havdalah over it. So by definition, he thinks, so Aruch HaShulchan says during the 9 days, one should make Havdalah. Why get involved of the question of the 9 days drinking wine? If you can make Havdalah over beer, avoid the whole friction. And why get into a friction and say, wine wins? Don't get into the friction at all and just say, make it over beer. That is the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan. And in fact, they say over Rav David Feinstein Paskin out. See, it's the different quotes what Rav Moshe Feinstein held. I've seen some quote him to make over beer. I saw some quote him to say, no, you should make it over wine. So I've seen different, but Rav David Feinstein, I've seen quoted as over beer. So it makes sense. So I don't know if Rav David Feinstein is being choleik on his father, or he would say that, no, my father always made it over beer. That'd be a question I like to ask Rav David Feinstein. He should have a refuah shlema. He's not doing well. So he should have a refuah shlema of David Feinstein. But I remember a story. Someone asked him at a wedding, what does your father say about, I'm not sure if it was shavers or not, about something. He says, I'm not sure what my father has to say, but you want to know what I have to say? So I'm not sure if he's giving. So Rav David does have his own opinions. He's like one of the Gedolei HaPoskim today. So it's always interesting to know why or when he's choleik on his father, and when, you know, or he's not being choleik. So I'm not sure in this case if he thinks his father's, you know, saying it or not. So I'm not sure. And the Rivavos Ephraim Greenblatt, who was a big posek who lived in Memphis, I think he passed away, you know, in the past, I guess it was past 5-10 years, I'm not sure exactly. He also says it's not a problem to use Havdalah over beer. So the question, so what's this machlokis here? So Aruch HaShulchan at face value seems like what we always want to make shalom. Why get into friction? Why get into a problem and solve the problem? Avoid the problem, right? So what's this issue? So why doesn't Mechaba and Ramah say to use beer? Or for that matter, see, I'm not even asking about beer. Why don't they say to use Chamar Medina? Because as we'll see, beers are going to be a debate if it is Chamar Medina. But I'm saying that'll make it simple. The Ramah and Mechaba knew about Chamar Medina. So how come they didn't choose that option? You hear so what is the Nakudas HaMachlokas? So what I think the issue, there are a couple of things happening here. So number one is, let's say all year round, let's say next week, 3 weeks from now, is it preferable to make Havdalah over wine or beer? Like, is there any preference or not? So this is a major debate, because So again, the Gemara says you could use Chamar Medina for Havdalah, and the example of the Gemara was beer. But okay, so that all it tells me is Chamar Medina depends on the town and on the times you live in. So all it tells me is during the time of Amemar, beer was the drink of the town and it was good, but doesn't tell me whether today it's the drink of the town. So that's what I'm saying. So I'm not getting into beer. Well, that'll be the next step. We could argue about beer. So I want to make it more broad. Why didn't the Ramah Mechaba say, whatever you think Chamar Medina is, why don't you make it over Chamar Medina? Why did they choose? And in fact, I'll throw you a question. Is the Ramah himself, by Motzai Pesach, by when at the end of Pesach, he says you should make Havdalah over beer? Oh, so he must think beer is good then. or you don't worry about your Havdalah after Pesach. Clearly, he says beer, and we'll see. It's quoted in the name of the Vilna Gaon that he made beer. Then we'll see if that's true or not. But so what exactly is the issue here? So what I think what's going on here is as follows. There's a couple of debates happening. So the Rashbam writes in Baba in Psachim, I think Kuv Zayin and others, that he throws out the principle on that Gemara. When should you use, why did Amemar use beer for Havdalah? So the way many Rishonim learned the Gemara is apparently there was no wine around. In other words, Amayma said, great, now that I know Chamar Medina is beer, I'll use beer. So the way the Rashbam learns the principle, anyway, he says, in a place where wine is available, one should not rely on Chamar. Again, bottom line is the Yotze. If someone made Havdalah on beer, Yotze. No one could take, well, I shouldn't say that. If someone made Havdalah on Chamar Medina, Yotze. They can't take it away from you. Beer, they will take away from you, maybe. But the question is, what is the lichatchila? So the way many Rishon and many Mefarshim learn is, in a place where you have wine available, you should not rely on Chamar Medina. That's the Rashbam and many others. So if you assume that way, wine is readily available. So what's the issue with the Rama and the Mechaber? So they're saying like this. On one hand, so we know lichatchila, they hold you should make wine, or you should, they hold Havdalah normally should be done over wine, over Chamar Medina. So now, does the 9 days make a difference? There's a minig not to have wine. So they say, don't bother me with a very, you know, relatively weak minig. In fact, it's not a conflict. They hold the minig of not drinking wine, it was only for pleasure, for tainug purposes. There's no iser at all of drinking wine for a mitzvah purpose. So there's no conflict. The whole thing was only set up when there's a problem. And since we go with the general rule, it's always better to make Havdalah over wine than Chamar Medina. It's not a problem at all. The 9 days don't even come up, because the way they learn the minug is, it never was, the rabbis knew you're making Havdalah Saturday night. You have 9 days, they know you're going to have a Shabbos in between. So it's never included. So of course you make it on wine and that's it. So they don't even go. So it's Lishitasan. They assume during the year, you should never make Havdalah on Chamar Medina if you have wine. That's the mainstream opinion. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees with that point. He says, no, that's not true. He says, in a case where everyone knows it's Chamar, in other words, maybe he learns a Meimar, there was wine available. Yeah, I don't know the exact details of what the facts on the ground were. That's what it should come down to. When a Meimar made Havdalah on Chamar Medina, was there wine available? Could be coming down to that issue. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to think, no. Even if there was wine available, if Chamar Medina, if this is the accepted drink of the town, everyone drinks it, it's Chamar Medina, and that's equally preferable. It's the same. It's lichatchila. He's not against using wine, but there's no problem at all. There's no preference. According to the Mechaber Ramah, there's always a preference of wine over Chamar Medina. The way the Aruch HaShulchan's learning, that no, there is no preference all year round. As long as you get the right Chamar Medina, then it's equal. Pick your poison. You can take beer, you can take wine. So therefore, it's the Aruch HaShulchan consistent with his view. He's saying is, if you're always allowed to, if beer is an option, and now we have a minhag not to have wine during the 9 days, and the Aruch HaShulchan is very strict on those who eat meat and wine, he has very strong words about saying about them, then it's like getting bit by a snake, then why have it? See, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, I have a choice. If Chamar Medina is equally as good, then why not use it? But the Mechaber must say it's not equally as good. So I think it's a fundamental machlokas, and we have to tie it into here. So how do we learn the Ramah with beer after, so why would the Ramah say beer on Motzei Pesach? So clearly he must assume that beer is Chamar Medina, but he does. Let's assume he does agree. I'm assuming he agrees beer is Chamar Medina, but he says, so why would Motzei Pesach difference? That's a big shaila. So people write because of Chavivas HaMitzvah, because to show something's very Chaviv. So he has a special reason. Why? Because to show that all year, the whole Pesach, I specifically stayed away from Chametz, and now I want to show, I've been not eating bread or chametz because it was a mitzvah. I really wanted to have it over Pesach. I couldn't wait to have my beer. I specifically didn't have beer. I waited to the moment after Pesach, and I show chavivas hamitzvah. So you have to have some external factor in addition. All things being equal, have wine. But in special scenarios, clearly the Ramah has to assume beer is good, or else it won't get off the ground. So he's assuming it's good. And for the Chaviv is HaMitzvah, I'll let you go ahead. But that's a special, that's a unique case. That's not the general rule. And in fact, but people ask, the Ramah says, people quote the Vilna Gaon as making Havdalah over beer, Motzai Pesach. But the, and let me just, I like pointing out, that's the Minig Yisrael, not necessarily over beer, but when you go to, well, I know the Jewish areas, like Brooklyn, Teaneck, Woodmere, they're very makbid. They follow, they have the same chaviv as the Gra and the Ramah. That, you know, that's why the pizza shops, the lines are 3 hours long, Motzai. And you have all the Yidden who stole God, the Chavivas HaMitzvah. I couldn't wait having pizza the whole Pesach, and now I'm going to have it. So therefore, that's what the Ramah, so the question is, the Gra writes that beer is not Chamar Medina. That's the whole question. It's the whole question, does beer fit the qualities of Chamar Medina or not? So the Magen Avraham, I think the Vilna Gaon say in Ashkenazic circles, or against the Ramah, beer is not Chamar Medina. So let's just, if the Gra holds beer is not Chamar Medina, how could he possibly say you can make Havdalah? See, the Ramah holds beer is Chamar Medina, let's say. So some bring down, no, it's a misquote in the Gra. The Gra did not make Havdalah over beer. He holds beer isn't good. So what's the Pshano? What they meant to say about the Vilna Gaon was he made sure to eat chametz right after Pesach. He made beer, apparently, he made Havdalah over wine, but then he took out the pizza or whatever they had back then. And so that's what it means. He showed his chavivas HaMitzvah, but if he paskins beer's not Chamar Medina, I don't think he's going to start off Motzei with a brachel of Atola. So let me go back. So Chamar Medina is definitely good for Havdalah, but it's far from simple. What is the definition of Chamar Medina? It's a whole big discussion. And therefore, no one drink is going to make the cut according to everybody. What I mean to say is, there'll be some people who are going to say that the drink isn't good. I think, in other words, so some people say beer is not Chamar Medina. And I think it's the Chazon Ish, the Stipler in Eretz Yisrael. They say it's not the drink in the town anymore. I guess they like sugar drinks. And they say if you make Havdalah over beer, it could be you're not Yotzi Havdalah, it could be a brachel over. There are those who don't like beer. Clearly the Aruch HaShulchan disagrees and says beer is good. And there are those, many poskim to say, also depends where you live. Maybe Canada is the drink in a town, in Denver, it could depend on which part. So beer is, and then others say Ramosha was against soda. Ramosha said he felt soda was a drink you give to someone when they're thirsty, not for covered. I mean, I'm not sure that it applies anymore today. I know people when they, as a drink, you give someone Coca-Cola, you give them, people offer drinks of soda. But either way, others disagree. And in fact, they say over Rabbi Gifter, who is the Rosh Yeshiva in Tells in Cleveland, who lived in the Midwest, they say, guess what he made Havdalah over Motzoi Shabbos? Ginger ale. What was the brand? I think Vernors, I forget the name. There's like a special ginger ale flavor. You know, it's the equivalent of Canada Dry or something. Vernors, that's it. So Vernors is a very hush of drink in the Midwest. Maybe not so hush of here. So he specifically, he obviously held soda. Vernors was, again, maybe a no-frill ginger ale wouldn't cut it. But Vernors ginger ale, and they say Rev Tite, who was the Rav in Elizabeth for many years, I think it was in the 1950s or 60s, at a time when kashrus was still questionable, and he couldn't find yayin mevushel, he couldn't find wine that was cooked, and he had their issues with kashrus. So during that time period, they say over, he made Havdalah over, I think, Coca-Cola or something. Again, not just the no frill. So the point being is, so Rav Moshe holds soda is no good, but apparently Rav Gifter, and who made it over Vern, is, so that, because it depends on the makom. Others say coffee and tea are the best drinks. They say the Brisker Rav made Havdalah over coffee and tea. They say Rav Chaim Oza Gruzinski, who was the Gadol Hador in Europe, he made Havdalah over piping hot tea. What do you mean? He felt only hot tea or coffee is good. If you let it cool off, it's not any, no one likes drinking cold coffee or room temperature. It specifically has to be hot. In fact, that's what Poskim say. You got to drink coffee. Some say dafka with milk and sugar. If you're going to drink, the way you would drink it is, oh, if it's going to be a chama or medina. So therefore, Rav Chaim Oz, in fact, some say that if it's room temperature, it's a no-go. Because why does some say you, and some say you can't make it over tea and coffee because it's hot. So by definition, you can't drink enough of it in the proper amount of time to drink a moi lugma. So that people don't like coffee and tea. So we have the whole gamut. People don't like beer. They say it's no longer the drink of the town. And if your whole needs alcoholic content, then soda is no good, orange juice is no good, and all these things, coffee and tea. So therefore, based on this, because Chama Medina is a major debate on what it is, that's why many shy away. Even if you agree the Gemara says it, even though we agree that Chamar Medina can be used for Havdalah, but the problem is, what is Chamar Medina? So it's a major debate, even Bizman Hazeh, what exactly is Chamar Medina? So therefore, those point out. So number one, for two reasons. Number one is, many assume that in a place where you have wine matzah, you should use the wine. Wine is preferable over Chamar Medina. And even if you want to go like the Aruch HaShulchan side of you, that no, that if you, Chama Medina is equal to wine. He doesn't go with that distinction. He says, no, if you know it's Chama Medina, then it's equally, so then you get in, so then you have to have a strong opinion on what is Chama Medina, and then make it over Chama Medina. I mean, practically speaking, you know, I mean, I'd say, well, Maisa, people make Havdalah over beer, people make it over coffee and tea, people make it over soda. So, Lamaisa, you know, you have someone to rely on, like who said, you'll have someone who'll say it's a bracha of atol and you're not yotzei, and you'll have someone who'll say you're yotzei, so push comes to shove, I would tell you to make it over Chamar Medina and not make it at all. But I'd say is, but all things being equal, when it, again, all year round, I'd say it's better to make it over wine, and therefore that's why my shita for Saturday night also. Since I go with the shita, since we don't know exactly where Chama Medina is, it's best to make it over wine all the time. Now let me get to grape juice. So functionally speaking, wine and grape juice are the same. The way halach l'may, again, I said the minhag ha'olam is people use grape juice for kiddush and havdalah and dalet kosos. Again, if you don't, so then okay. If you don't accept grape juice, then don't use it for Havdalah. But I'm saying, assuming you assume grape juice works, and if not, maybe it works as Chamar Medina. If it shouldn't be any worse than the other drinks, maybe. And if you have two things to work on, maybe it's wine, and if not, maybe it's Chamar Medina. But either way, so let's assume grape. So strictly speaking, there's an Isser during the 9 days. You can't have wine, you can't have grape juice, but you can't have beer, because beer, even though it's alcoholic, but it does, the rabbis never prohibited it. However, some poskim, and this is what I go with, why I think grape juice is better than, so my recommendation is, if you use any of the above, you yotze. You have the Aruch HaShulchan to rely on, Rav David Feinstein, you have the Rama Machaber, but my lechatchila choice I tell people to make, and Rav Yitzhak Abadi and others as well say the same way, that It's best to make over grape juice. Why? Because I'm assuming grape juice has the same status of wine. So regarding Kiddush and again, if you assume grape juice, you can't make Havdolah on, then I agree, then make it over wine. But assuming you assume that grape juice works for Havdolah, so I think grape juice is better than wine. Why? Because what are the two reasons why we don't have wine during this time period? Misha nichnas av mim'atim b'simcha. When the month of Av enters, we minimize our joy. And that's what the Kolbel writes. So, ein simcha l'basa v'yayin. Simcha is usually associated with meat and wine. And therefore, we stay away from wine because it's something that brings us joy. Wine brings us joy. Last I checked, grape juice does not bring me joy, or I don't think anyone else. It's a functional drink that I don't want to have wine, so I have grape juice instead. And second reason as well is, what's the reason why we don't have wine? Because it reminds us of the Churban, that when we had a Beis HaMikdash, we brought yayin, we brought wine libations, and we brought basar, and we brought meat. So, and in fact, the Gemara talks about, some said we shouldn't have meat and wine the whole year. But that was too, because right after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we should feel the pain. However, the rabbi said it's way too much. Okay, let's keep it during the 9 days only. So, since grape juice cannot, if there was a Beis HaMikdash, you can't bring grape juice on the Mizbeach. That doesn't have a status of wine regarding the Mizbeach. And therefore, based on those two reasons, that grape juice is pasul in Mizbeach anyway. So therefore, you're not violating Zechu or Churban anyway. And it doesn't bring a Simcha. My recommendation is to make Havdalah during the 9 days over grape juice. As well as not this year, but I'd say the same thing, making it over grape juice, motzai, Tisha B'Av, when it falls out on Shabbos, when it's a nitcha as well. But that's already more of a discussion. But yeah, but that's what I would say. Any questions, comments?
That was amazing.